Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Pub Table Racers, episode number 51. We're live here at the Honeysuckle Creek Loop Studios after Daytona International Speedway Speed Weeks. And my name is Tim Packer, and sitting to my right is
Warren Brosell.
And we are the co-hosts, and the guys in between us, Artie Hare, crew chief extraordinaire for Jordan Anderson Racing, and sitting next to him, driver owner Jordan Anderson. We're going to talk to him a little bit about some Daytona.
You made that rhyme a little bit. Do you realize that?
What's that?
Artie Hare, crew chief extraordinaire.
I did.
It just rolled right off the tongue.
Well, you know, my first time doing this.
He's practiced that all
the time. He probably did. Right. He probably looked in the mirror.
So, yeah. No, that's what I was doing my hair and makeup.
Wait a minute. So,
we're off to a great start. Warren Russell, why do we have a bucket of beer sitting between us like we do each and every week?
We'd like to drink beer, and why not?
We're pub table racers.
We're pub table racers. Right? You got to have something. Right. Some kind of tasty, frosty beverage.
And we drink Miller High Life because it's a champagne of beers, and it's a tribute to our good friend Bobby Els.
Right. It's a tribute to, both worked on.
We'll do cheers to Bobby.
Let's do cheers to Bobby. Thanks, guys. Appreciate that. Bobby, we appreciate
that. We're off and rolling. Right. Okay, this show is brought to you each and every week by RacingJunk.com. Warren, do your Vanna White there. RacingJunk.com. Buy, sell, trade. Go check them out. Anything and everything you need in racing. Vintage clothing, race cars, race shops, parts, old cars, new cars. Go check them out. They have it all covered, all kinds of different forms and everything. Also, the Garage Shop, garageshop200.com. Aaron Brown, those guys over there. Tim Clements. Cram's working over there now.
Oh, really?
I stopped on him, and they got some really cool stuff going on.
Brian or Clinton?
Clinton.
Okay.
Brian Cram.
Brian
Cram. Like, I walked in, it was like old. No. As I was sitting, the DEI kept walking through the whole thing. Yeah, so he's got a lot going on there. Bonneville Salt Flats, the restoration of cars. Go check out their Facebook page or their website. And also our number one interim sponsor, Lake Norman Patio and Game Rooms on Brawley School Road in Mooresville. And I'm telling you, he's got a whole new line come out. If you guys need some outdoor patio furniture, he's the guy to see.
Beautiful patio furniture.
And it's made in the USA.
All composite.
It's Adirondack chairs, high and low. They have little bars, fire pits, and the game room downstairs has shuffleboard,
pool tables,
tabletop hockey. Cool stuff,
dartboards,
signed guitars, and even a Star Trek signed shirt.
Captain Kirk.
Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
Pretty wide variety there.
He does. He's got a lot of. He's got a little bit of everything. Brad's a unique character. Yeah. He's got a good.
And everything's for sale.
Line of stuff.
Yes, when you walk in there, everything's for sale. And he took part this week in the Parker race with Rich Bickle. We'll talk about that in a second. I forgot to.
Yeah,
he had to
talk. He had to get all of that out of his mouth, so now he can get that in.
Warren, are we on YouTube?
Yes, we are.
What's our channel?
It would be Pub Table Racers.
That's it.
YouTube
channel.
Yeah.
And you know what? If people want to subscribe, it's absolutely free.
They need to subscribe.
Free. It's free. So there you go. So it's free. That's right.
Nothing's free, but that is.
That is. It's a click and a click, and that's it. It's free. So go to that. Also, check us out.
He puts me on the spot like that. Like, he asked me a question. I'm like.
That's to get you back.
Boy, I think I can get this right.
In the next 5 minutes,
you should put me on over for the next.
Well, he's going to put me on the spot with one of his jokes a little bit, so I'm getting it early, I'm firing the first shot. also, you don't want to look at ugly faces. You want to hear what's going on. Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. So check those all out. Let's launch into it, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the ARCA race. Rich Bickle, our friend, we sponsored him. We had our name across the TV, the bumper covers, pumptablecovers.com, their logos, got some good TV time. Rich qualified fourth. He was on the pole until the final group went, and the Venturini cars somehow drew to be in the same group. Shocking. And they went 1, 2, 3. So Rich started fourth.
Wait a minute. Are you saying something like
that? No, I just said.
That's I do have to say, I love his terminal trucking colors on the car.
Oh, you do? You remember that? Yeah.
See?
Yep. Sharp.
Wow.
Yeah, I had Bobby Gill as a mentor when I ran my
Super League. You did? Okay, well.
Bobby had some stories from maternal trucking days.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Everybody has stories.
Yeah. I thought for the longest time, I was like, this guy just really doesn't like me. And so I finally figured out that just how Bob was towards everybody.
Yeah, Bobby was, yeah.
Did he tell you any Rich Bickle stories?
A couple.
Probably can't repeat them.
I'll tell you later.
That's our favorite part. Well, we could, but we might get everybody in trouble one time.
Right.
So that race, Rich got a little jingle, got it fixed, finished 15th. So a good finish for him. First time racing there in 18 years. So good for him. And big tip of the hat to Andy Jankowiak out of Buffalo. First time racing an ARCA race, first time on a super speedway, qualified great, finished 8th. So it's top 10 finish, and you got some good TV time, and so it's good to see a kid that we all came from Lancaster Speedway outside of Buffalo, and we're all in the garage, we're all kind of looking at each other like, well, this is a big jump up from Lancaster, right. So good to see him. So I don't know what he's going to do next. I guess they're talking Talladega, so stay tuned on that.
There was a couple drivers really burnt at the end of that race, but
yeah,
I mean,
like, man,
I didn't see too much wrong with it. I watched the whole thing, but
right, yeah, I guess
it was a Toyota driver.
Ty Gibbs was a little upset,
that, maybe.
You know, like, I gotta say, did you see Dale Jarrett's tweet about his comments?
No, I did not.
So I think I didn't even see what Ty said, but I think Dale came back and said, I don't know if Ty remembers or not, but his grandfather got his first one in Daytona, so there was some jabs thrown there.
About how he talked about the hallowed ground that we all, how we respect that place, and we all know how the racing is there.
Yeah.
And you just deal with it.
Right.
And but you shouldn't bash it. Whether you like it or not, you shouldn't bash it.
There's a lot of history there.
Yeah, there is. I mean, he said about the racing and teammates.
Pretty
and
much the start of this deal.
Yeah. It is the world center of racing. So that one finished there. And then we went to the truck race on Friday night. Who won that? I forgot.
Not me.
The truck race? Yeah, but,
Ben
I was going to say, you can see your bumper cover because they were right in front of you, right?
Ben Rhodes won it. A lot of stuff torn up in that race, but they got to the end. And for the second year in a row, our man Jordan,
our guest,
finished second. Talk to me about 2 years in a row finishing second. Like, last year was inches. This year, the heartache wasn't.
I think it was .036 was the gap, which is about a half a truck length, which is still too close.
Right.
I don't know if it's the fact that it was that close or the fact that we were 2 feet away 2 years in a row from being back-to-back winners at Daytona. So, but it was, you know, I love plate racing, and Artie and I got to work together at Talladega for the first time last year. And the thing with plate racing is, like you said, you got to know the strategy there. You got to know there's going to be a couple wrecks. Mm-hmm. You know, guys are going to be aggressive. I mean, I was riding around early in the race, and there was a couple guys that went by on the outside, and they're in and out of traffic. I'm like, man, you're being awfully brave for lap 14, right? Four wide. You must know something I don't know to be driving like that. But I had Reed Sorensen spot for me for the first time. So I had another fellow racer, eyes up top. And for any guys that know Reed, he's very laid back, very nonchalant, and he kept me calm all race. And strategy worked out well, and I got to be honest with you, we took the white flag, we were 11th. And I was kind of thinking in my head, I'm like, I would really like a top 10 here. I'd be happy with a top 10 and truck in one piece. And
11th, bottom, top, or middle?
I was in the middle.
Okay.
11th across the line in the middle.
Okay.
Actually lost a spot going in turn one. Austin Wayne Self got by me on the inside. And I had David Gillen pushing behind me. And David was going to the front, whether I was there or not. So he had my rear wheels jacked up. And I think I dirt tracked it through turns one and two, just trying to keep it going straight. But we got the back.
Probably going 150 miles an hour, you're talking already, right? Or maybe only 100, I don't know.
Somewhere in there. We're going fast enough.
Right.
Fast enough. And we got the back stretch, and I saw a hole to my left, and I knew I needed to get in the bottom. And I started easing down. The little infinger tried to block me. Well, infinger and I made a little contact. I accidentally knocked my brother-in-law, Austin Wayne Self, in the door. Austin goes spinning out, which, if you're watching Austin, I am sorry. I've tried to call you. I have to talk to you.
He hasn't answered, huh?
I think
he wants to do that in person.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's better off that way.
That's all right.
Maybe I can buy him lunch one day this week. But got down there to the bottom. That's yo, Lana's your friend at Daytona. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, stay there.
As close as I get to that thing, and sure enough, coming off turn four, I think the O2 got loose. Ended up wrecking somebody four lanes ahead of him in the process because it was just kind of like a chain reaction. You said earlier, it's kind of like a Moses moment. I'm sitting there driving and the seas literally parted.
Right.
And I can see first and second right there. We had such a run. If it had been Talladega, we would have won. But for this whole journey and what it means there, I mean, I don't care who you are, whether you like racing in Daytona or not. I remember the first time I went there as a kid in 1999. My dad and I drove down there in his Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
We actually folded the back seats down, and we slept over in the parking lot by the dog track.
Yep.
And it was still over there.
Remember that.
And we went there, and I think Dale Jarrett won that race that year. It was probably one of the most caution-free. It was either 99 or 2000. I can't remember which one it was. But it was caution-free. I think there was one crash. Jimmy Spencer hit the wall.
Right.
That was about it. But just so cool growing up there to get a finish like that there. And it was a pretty exciting night. And ThorSport beat us 2 years in a row.
Two different drivers.
Yeah. Go figure.
But so... And, like, you're going, so tell, I want to know, you're going across the line, like, you're 11th, and all of a sudden you have a chance to win. and you got that thing mad. You got the, your foot to the floor. Nothing else you do, and you're like, what?
I bent the firewall.
Put your foot there.
I was like, maybe there's a little bit more. Maybe the throttle linkage will go a little further. I mean, it's so cool to plan something like that on those races because you don't ever know what's going to happen. And that's, you talk about the highest of high. I mean, that was a pretty cool feeling to just kind of see all that happen. All of a sudden, we're right there in position for it. So it was fun.
So we got the driver's take on it. We got to hear crew chief's take on it. Well, how? You were standing on top of the
car. I was in the Xfinity car
for the Xfinity cars.
Oh, jeez. That ain't even right.
Yeah. So the only time I got to watch it is when I heard him screaming
at yelling. Did you at least have a radio on?
Could
you hear him?
No, we were actually out.
Wayne Allman was in his ear, so.
Inspection, yeah. But the one thing, I mean, I know you're a man of faith, and that's awesome, and I appreciate that so much. And then, you know, you finished second, and your post-race interviews are fantastic, that you can tell that second meant just as much to you as maybe a win, although a win would have been, you know, better. But it's just that the fact that you're excited by it, and you're like, oh, well, we could have done this. Like, you generally appreciate finishing second.
I see some guys that finish second, like, I let myself down, team. I'm like, man, I don't care who you are, as hard as everybody works, whether you finish top five, second, tenth, there's a lot of people that work hard to make that happen.
Yes.
And anytime you can come close to a win like that, don't get me wrong, it was kind of like a split, like, holy cow, we finished second. Are you kidding me? We were that close to
again.
So it's definitely, but you go back talking about my faith. I mean, that's accepted Christ at 6 and started racing at 7. Mm-hmm. So those two things have really been hand in hand in my whole path and journey. And sometimes it's hard to understand why things happen a certain way and why things go, but, you know, to see the path that God's got me on, and people in the path, definitely got a lot to be grateful for and a lot of blessings to be thankful for in the process. So anytime you can, for me, I tell people all the time, anytime at the racetrack, I count my blessings. I know the amount that we've had to fight to be there and claw.
Right.
And my dad is he has some rental properties in South Carolina, and my mom was a hairdresser. Good. So in the world of racing and families that race and all the sponsorship that comes with it, you know, I'm not the typical driver that should have had an opportunity to come race in NASCAR.
To finish second.
And finish second in 2 years in a row. So, I mean, it's been pretty amazing, the journey we've been on.
And not tear the truck up in 3 races.
That's right.
Three races.
Because he knows he can't. Right?
He can't hardly spend the money. Right? He's body hangers and fabricators.
Yeah, they're expensive, right?
Aerotech.
Us PR guys are peanuts bigger than you guys. You know?
Shane Martin takes care of you, right?
Yep. Yeah. Shane, okay. That's why I was on the phone with her. I was talking to Shane, so he said to tell you, hey.
Tell me, said hey.
I will.
Yeah, I know Shane real good.
Oh, yeah. He's a South Carolina guy. That's where I'm from, so.
Columbia. Well, real quick, let's do the Xfinity race.
Okay.
Your guy, congratulations, Ross Centric. I'll give you cheers to that.
Cheers.
He's
did a great
the
job drafting.
So you have a win there.
Pretty much by himself.
He did, yeah. I mean, he was out there by himself, and he's not really known for his speedway, more of his road course.
I think after that one mishap, everybody else did calm down.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Everybody, there was that, whatever lap they had there.
I think
there.
It was Emmerich and somebody else.
Rick and someone else, and after that they calmed down and pretty much let it play out.
Good.
Instead of saying, let's just, you know, like the cup guys, wreck 30 more. Let's
go, I'm done.
What's 14?
So unfortunately, so congrats to you, that's a good start to the season. The defending
Thank
champion
you.
Comes back. Now, Jordan, I'm going to bring up, you were not able to qualify because Mother Nature.
Yeah.
So you were one of the
Five of us
got home, and you did. You had a practice session.
Yeah, you know, that's, I told Artie and the guys the other day. I said I was so proud of the effort that everybody showed up with. This is the group of guys that we've assembled. Other than Artie and myself, everybody on our team was new coming into this year. And we showed up at Daytona with a new series for our team.
Right.
We made the jump up, and we went down there and we made single car runs, and we were top 20 in practice. And I think we had top 10 speed by ourselves, but. You look at where we were in practice, and we had a good piece. We were in qualifying speed. I was confident. That was my first time ever driving an Xfinity car on a speedway. And, you know, you run a truck.
Right.
And I love Gilmore to death, and there's some great motors that are very durable. But the Ilmore, he kind of, with the truck, because the trucks are huge boxes punching a big hole in the air. He kind of ran out of steam about the back shirts. That Xfinity car, I was coming off turn four, and that thing was still making power. That's what I was telling Richie Gilmore at ECR. Yeah. I was like, man, that thing has some steam in it. Yeah. So,
big power. You used to say big power.
Big power.
So it was a cool experience to do that. And I'm glad, you know, running both the truck and the car during speed weeks was nice because I was able to kind of, hadn't been in a race car in 3 months.
Right.
It was kind of nice to knock the rust off, and your shift points are so big at that place. But, you know, unfortunately, a 30-minute rain shower put an end to what we thought was going to be our season. So we're still kind of figuring through, you know, I understand that we're in the COVID era, you know, things are different. We're all trying to cut costs and save money, but pretty unfortunate that a circumstance put us in the situation we're in.
Mother Nature throws a curveball to you, and now you don't know what you got to do.
We don't know what's next.
So yeah. I mean, so people are asking, when are you eligible to qualify again, based on entry list? And
we really don't know. I mean, right now the next true qualifying race, like Daytona, will be Circuit of the Americas May 22nd, which is seven races from now.
Okay.
We've sent in an entry blank for the road course Daytona. We've sent an entry blank for Homestead.
Okay.
They sent out entry blank, or the pre-entry blank that was for the Daytona road course. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. It's
in case someone wouldn't show up.
Right. So we're just going to keep submitting our entry, and it either drops below 40 or, you know, maybe NASCAR decides, because it's not just our team that's affected.
Sure.
We got Ronnie and Dylan Bassett
that
we're going to run full time this year with cars they got from RCR as well. You got the 03, Chris Auer, Motorsports. Their other car finished second there.
So that car wasn't able to qualify.
Tyler Reddick,
a two-time champion.
Yeah,
someone says, isn't the champion visual still around? I go, no, Darrell Walter buried that, dug it back up, killed it again, and buried it again. So that the champion's provisional went away.
It's actually it's still in play.
It is still in play.
They had to run last year.
Yeah,
got it.
So he could have claimed. Okay.
Yeah, he could have claimed it.
All right. So it's still there, but not really used.
It's wandering away in the back.
Yeah. We'll go back to the truck series, and this was a funny story. I thought was I didn't quite see it, but James Buescher came back racing this year in a truck race.
Yep.
And his qualifying lap was disallowed because he went below the yellow line on his qualifying lap.
Yeah.
Okay.
But because he ran a truck race last year, I think it was it Texas?
Yeah.
He was able to use the champion provisional at Daytona for his lap.
Oh.
So, kind of an interesting situation.
Right.
Okay, so I guess it's still there, but very obsolete now.
It's obsolete, yeah.
Right,
so a lot of loopholes.
So now you're just going to have to wait till the entry list shrinks up a little bit? Well, how much time do you have? I mean, if it comes out like Tuesday or Wednesday, you're like, okay, let's go.
So Artie and the guys in the shop.
Just hypothetical.
They've done a great job. I mean, they got you guys ready to go on a pull down tomorrow morning with our Daytona Road Course car. Okay. So we were going to
just prepared. In case.
Yeah, even though we're not going.
Either way.
You're ready, damn it.
Still build a notebook and get the car ready. And
good.
It'll go to Coda and
be
sitting there.
We're pretty fortunate that we've got John Bomarito as a partner with me on this team and starting this journey. And
what is his company?
So he's got the Bomarito Automotive Group based for any of you out toward the Midwest, or really anywhere, bomarito.com. He's got cars online. He's got anything from Chevrolet, first and foremost, buy Chevrolet's first, but he also has Ford, Toyota, Audi, Mazda, GMC, Buick, anything you think of, John has got it. So John and I first met back in 2016. He's grown from his first sponsorship was he bought me a set of tires.
Right.
To now he's helped us build up this fleet of Xfinity cars.
Very nice.
You hooked him with the tires, huh?
Well, he tried to buy one tire.
Yeah.
That was nice. I said, you can't buy one. You gotta buy at least four.
You can buy one, but it's an old one.
Sorry.
Man cave.
You can't separate them. They're all like a family. Right. They're like puppies. You can't buy them all.
Exactly.
Yeah, but all the good years. That's it.
But he told us, and just like we told the guys, I mean, this is a long-term plan to try to build this team, so we'll weather whatever storm is up against us.
That's
and
good.
Just keep digging.
So you found a good one there.
I'm very fortunate.
Good data. Very good. All right, so let's jump into the Cup race. 357 starts with no wins. Multiple start parts to keep his career going. Up until Sunday, he only had three top fives to it. Known as a road course racer, Michael McDowell is there at the end.
Well, killed himself in Texas.
He was qualifying the Aaron's car.
And now he's
a Daytona 500
championship.
Yeah, like. I mean, that team, front row, congrats to all of them.
Absolutely.
Every one of you guys, it was great. Drew Blickenser, the crew chief, got another one there. But that's a team that...
They actually finished third last year.
Right.
you know, I know that because we were together.
That was McDowell.
And, and I know that he obviously finished first this year because our guys had a little issue. But
you talking about Brad and Joey?
Brad, Joey, it's either here nor there. I got to bring up that on lap three.
Yes.
On lap three.
Sure.
And everybody did the three.
Oh, go ahead.
Derek Culp got a flat.
Now think about that.
He won the 1990 because
Dale Earnhardt
got a flat.
And everyone was doing the three, and they had a big number three tribute, and they were making a big tribute. So this week it'll be 20 years since we lost.
That was the most exciting thing. Look at that, that's Derek Culp. He just got a flat lap three.
On lap three, it's kind of like, well, there you go. Like Dale's looking down and goes, payback.
Gotcha.
He's like, okay, we're good. We're even now. But so that race, you know, the delay 5 hours or something like that. Well, God bless.
I was in bed when that one resumed.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I drove back. I got back just in time from Daytona to put it on and watch the rest of it. Yeah.
I'll show you what a 5-hour rain delay looks like. It's in that fucking bag.
Oh, that's a soul much.
Is that by yourself?
No, the kid. No, I wasn't here, so I can't take credit for it. But yeah, I mean, I give everyone credit for sticking on. The fans, especially, that stuck it out, because some said, "Look, we're leaving tomorrow. We're flying back tomorrow. We work." Some said Tuesday. They said they get this in tonight. We're sticking out. But you know, you should if you flew down from like Buffalo or somewhere, or Milwaukee and or Muncie, Indiana, or something like that. You want to stick it out.
We always stuck it out.
Yeah, we always stick it out. But I think that you know, but they got it in, so now we can. Oh, yeah, go right back down there again. Come back and turn
around.
Right,
no, congratulations to Michael McDowell and that whole 14. Good for him.
Another man of strong faith. And the stories have come out about how he's helped people and what his family's done and how he just enjoys his family and like the racing part of it's great. But he, you know, he just stuck through it. And he said there was times when he wondered if it was worth it. And he's now here he is, the champion. And they can never take that away.
Nope. Yeah. And he's a great road racer, and now he gets to start up front.
Yeah,
that's right. He gets super first. he's
a really good road racer.
He's fifth in points. So Austin Dillon's leading the points right now.
Yeah, I see
because
that.
Because
of the
stages in there.
Yeah. The stages and the you got points for the 150s.
That's right. So Austin's up, and then it goes Denny's in there, Harvick, Chase Elliott, and then Dallas fifth in points. What's up? Line them up. Let's go.
We're lining them up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon again. It'll be raining.
Are you it's Florida?
Does everybody forget to rain? What time does it rain in Florida? Well, between 3 and 5.
Let's start the reset. What are you? So this weekend, are you no truck or no?
So we've got two brothers that are going to run a combined 8 races for us on the truck team.
Good.
Bobby and Roger Roos, two Alabama mainstays, the late model series down there.
Good.
They've helped Augie Grill with their late model program down there. So I actually drove for Bobby the Snowball Derby last year. Got to go down there and run his car.
Okay.
But Bobby will run this week. And I actually got a pretty cool sponsor. He's got iHeart Mac and Cheese as his sponsor. And he's got macaroni flame cheese things going on the side.
You can't miss this.
That's good. What is it? iHeart Mac and Cheese.
It's a new chain of restaurants.
Okay.
Georgia, Alabama, Florida. And they have everything is mac and cheese
things.
So you
like
lobster
mac and cheese, cheeseburger mac and cheese.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
If you love mac and cheese, that's the place for you. So
is there one around here?
You gotta go to Daytona.
Okay, didn't know that. I didn't know. Missed that place.
There you go.
Get another one there.
Yeah. Oh, please,
That's why we're here. When my kid was 5, I would have loved to have a place around. I had one that all he ate was mac and cheese. I got twin boys.
Okay.
All one of them ate was mac and cheese. It didn't matter, no matter where you went. No, mac and cheese. And the other one, hot dog. So it was one ate that, and one ate the or spaghetti.
Sure.
You know, these are easy to cook.
Kid stuff.
Yeah,
It reminds me of one of the microwave.
Yeah.
You talking about hot dogs on the microwave?
Hot dogs and mac and cheese.
Gosh. No way.
You can do that for 30 seconds. No. Yeah. Quick cuts.
Late night.
When we had Chase Briscoe on, we had wings, and he's like, I don't know.
He's already wings.
I don't eat wings.
Never had a hot dog.
Do you have nuggets? Do you have chicken nuggets?
Yeah.
Chicken nuggets.
Yeah, he's
never had a hot dog.
Never
had a hot dog or chicken wings.
Growing up at a racetrack. My thing, when I go to a racetrack, first thing I eat is a hot dog.
I ate 16 hot dogs in Martinsville one time.
That's awesome.
And then I raced a truck race. You ate him. It's pretty high up on my things I've been doing.
So now wait a minute. You ate him before you right before you raced, or that
all day long?
That whole day.
Oh my god.
That whole day. Because
my record was 10,
right. And we just got lights, so you know I had a better day race.
Yeah.
So
and I didn't have to race. I had to go to the bathroom.
What's Rob Wolf's record for Martinsville hot dog?
I probably in the 20s.
20s, yeah. So that's good. All right, so let's start now. Artie, how did you get your start in the sport? Prior to working with Jordan, you truck chief at Kyle Busch Motorsports, car chief at Richard Petty Motorsports, crew chief at Nice Motorsports, and now you are here with Jordan.
Yep.
And ladies, before we continue, Artie is single.
No
Jordan
kids.
Is engaged.
No kids.
Artie's single.
Successful.
No kids that he knows of, but he is single.
Oh, we were successful this week.
That's great. All right, so just how'd you get into them?
So my grandfather, he had IMCA Modifieds, where we ran Winchester Speedway, Anderson Speedway, Mount Lawn.
Wow, the legendary track.
Yeah, so and then we decided we was going to go late model racing, bought some Port City cars. And actually, Jeff Holt started driving for him back in
the name,
so back in the 90s. We did that for about 4 or 5 years. Then Jeff went a different way, and Grandpa sold everything. And when I graduated high school, about 11 o'clock, I packed up and went to my grandpa's shop and got all the oil that he had because my car leaked oil. And had $125 in my pocket, put my clothes in a hamper, and came down, got here at 7:30 in the morning.
Where'd you go? Where'd you do?
I went to my friend Ryan McKinney.
I was going to say Waffle House first.
So Ryan actually worked for my grandfather when we had the body shop.
Okay.
And raced with us. And he'd been trying to get me down for a while. So I went to his house that morning. And he's like, well, we're going out on the lake. It was Memorial Day weekend. I said, okay. So we go to Walmart and they get, I don't know, there had to be 12 cases of beer they put. That's all we got. And I was 18 years old, and I'm going, right, how long are we going to be on this lake? Right? So,
about 5 hours.
That's not what it was. We were at Walmart later that night buying more beer.
God. So, hey, buddy, welcome to Lake Norman.
I was like, well, I'm hooked now. So.
That was fun.
Yeah. All right. So you had a place to stay and you knew you were coming.
Yep.
Okay, that's good. All right.
He ended up getting me a job, or an interview with Doug Howe at Bobby Daughters on the truck deal.
Got it.
So went truck racing for a while, and then here I am now.
So how did you guys come in?
Well, at Nice Motorsports, I was actually what's now his brother-in-law's crew chief.
Okay.
So Jordan rented a spot there at Nice Motorsports as a very small spot. That was when he was first getting going. I think he had maybe 2 trucks at the time.
Yeah, a Speedway truck and a little Harvick truck.
How many people did you have working with you? It was you and...
It was me, my buddy Dylan back then, and this kid Cody, and then this other guy Dan. There's just 4 of us, but they were all nobody was full time.
Right.
It was just kind of something we were trying to make happen.
They were coming in when we were leaving work most of the time.
We worked a late night shift.
they had other jobs.
They had the Penske shift.
They probably had other jobs. Like so, you know, my first job on a race team was I went and worked at a Ford dealership, and then I left and went to work in a race team.
Right.
And till 1 o'clock in the morning, and then try to get back to the Ford dealership, you know. But that's when everybody asks, how do I do this? How do I break in? How do I?
Yeah.
You better have 2 jobs. You better be willing to work 18 hours a day and work for free or hamburgers and beer.
And no people. So how long ago, this was like last year that you were?
2018.
Yeah. Okay. And so then you guys met that way.
Yeah.
We stayed in touch and I'm trying to remember what you did in 19. You went to DGR.
DGR with Natalie Decker.
Okay.
So, yes, I was there for the whole Bristol incident. So.
Go ahead and have a sip beer.
What was the Bristol incident?
Yeah. That was a fun night.
Okay. Oh, was that the radio deal?
Yeah, the radio.
Oh, okay. There was a little conversation that took place.
Yeah. So fast forward to this year, we had some changes on our team, and... I actually didn't have a crew chief I can't remember which race it was, Gateway.
Gateway, yeah.
And I called Artie. I said, hey, we need some help at night. Would you be willing to come in and help us at night? And we kind of went back and forth. He shot me a text back and said, would you be interested in maybe a crew chiefing for you? And I swear, Artie come in the next week and he looked like, you ever seen the movie Castaway?
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks comes and came back. He had like.
I was living life. I played golf when I was a kid. Yeah, well,
I was
really,
in shorts.
You weren't really,
he had
nice
tan.
You weren't really working this right now.
Tan night. I mean, his beard was out there.
Wow.
Perfect. Me and Richard Coleman go play golf.
Yeah.
I stopped by a shop and me and Richard were getting to go play golf. So.
I got fired from RCR in 17, and I called the wife. I said, hey, I just got let go up from RCR. What are you going to do? I said, I'm meeting your brother in South Carolina. I'm going golfing. Yeah. I went to Myrtle Beach.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good, blow your steam off.
Right.
Seriously, you walked in looking like Castaway?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay. Beautiful. Nice. And you said, oh my God, what happened to you?
No, he said, Wilson!
Well, I think I said, he looked like he just came back from vacation. Yeah. He had a nice tan and everything. Yeah, oh, yeah. I think our next race was Arlington. We went down there and then we went to Richmond. We had some fun last year. Capped it off, we had a six at Talladega last year. We had some good runs. So.
And I had really big plans on making this truck stuff go.
Mm-hmm.
I sat already down. We came back from Phoenix. Right. And a week later, we went to...
Because he owed me a steak dinner.
I did owe him a steak dinner. We went to Epic in Mooresville.
Very nice. That's a good steak dinner.
Halfway to dinner, I said...
That's
what
I'm talking about.
You get the... It's kind of like that line. I need you to build me an Xfinity car.
Right. And you said, shit, I should have got the Tomahawk.
That's exactly what
I should have soaked him for that.
and a couple more shots of tequila.
Wow. So then you guys decided to go. Now you jumped up to the Xfinity Series, and that's where so far you've committed your points, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Got it. So where did you start? We were talking before the show started with some go-karts. And...
Yeah, so nobody in my family really was big into racing or cars in general. My dad is, he buys and flips houses down in South Carolina. He has some rental properties down there. My mom's a hairdresser. You know, 4 or 5 years old, I told him I wanted to be a NASCAR driver, which for them, I'm sure, was like, all right.
So what process?
Race car driver, cowboy, spaceman,
right.
Good luck. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good
right.
luck with
astronaut.
That.
Exactly. Someone's got to do it, right?
You know, yeah. So.
We got astronauts in our work. I consider taking up space.
they were receptive enough. I mean, they would take me to races at Darlington and Charlotte growing up. Yeah. Go sit in the stand. We made that trip to Daytona.
Right.
Got introduced to some people that live in our neighborhood back home. Nick Hutchins, Nick, who is now, I think he's the car chief over at Stuart Haas on the 98 deal.
Mm-hmm.
Nick was racing go-karts. He's about 5 years older than me, but got introduced and went out to this go-kart track in Columbia, and him and his dad were out there. Hop some laps, want to run some laps in my go-kart, and the rest was kind of history. We bought a go-kart from him, ran it for 2 or 3 years, and I still remember the first time we traveled out of town to Concord Speedway. We were from Columbia. And going to Concord, I was like, this is a big deal, man.
An hour and a half, 2 hours
to race, this is a big deal.
We're big time now, yeah.
Fast forward 10 years later, I drove to Vegas and back, you know.
So, oh, that's right, you did that, yeah. That was, yeah.
But I remember to this day, this kid, his name was Zach Chiz, walked up. He's like, hey, man, you, I know why you're not going fast, your toe's out. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? You're not on my shoe.
You're
like,
right.
Talking about toe, that's how far I left field my dad and I were.
Oh, like, on the setup, yeah.
My dad and I have done this journey, I mean, we've been at it. I've been racing for 21 years since I started go-kart racing. A lot of amazing memories. My dad and I are very close, very thankful for that. He's a good man. If I could be half a man my dad is, I'd be in good shape.
There you go. It's a good tribute.
20 years. So,
very nice day.
Jumped up and did Bandolero cars for 2 years. Jumped up after that and ran Legend cars for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Won the Summer Shootout Pro Championship in 07-08. Got to work with Nick and Chase Pistone and Tiger Tom.
There you go.
And
Tiger Tom. There you go.
That whole crowd. Actually,
yeah.
I moved to North Carolina in 08. Lived with Nick for the summer, didn't get too corrupt, thankfully, and survived that summer, and then went to Belmont Abbey College in 2009. I graduated there with a degree in business management.
Which now is a owner you're putting to good use.
The accounting class is certainly paying off,
right?
As much as I hate it, it pays off.
Let's buy this. We can't. Let's buy this. We can't.
Exactly. It's tough. Well, while I was running, going to college at Belmont Abbey, I was running a dirt late model. We bought a dirt late model.
Jeez.
Ran 2 years of that. We run Carolina Speedway, Gaffney, Chester, Lancaster, Sumter. We kind of run all across Carolinas. Yeah. And that was a cool point in my career because you look back at dirt races, I'd grown up on asphalt my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys would probably both agree that there's definitely a different culture between asphalt
racing
and dirt racing.
Absolutely.
And being around those dirt racers, like they would run the race. they just open up the garage area, or yeah. the garage area, the yeah. pits, or yeah. whatever. Yeah.
Come on in.
And the fans would come in there, and they'd buy your shirts and hang yeah. out, and yeah. it was so cool.
It's a free-for-all.
And I think that's where people were like, why do you get so excited around this, and fans and all stuff. It's like, I think those 2 years of dirt racing really made me appreciate, you know, here was this family.
The fan base.
They worked all week, saved up $30 so they could come watch their favorite yeah. driver right. on this dirt race, so... Did that for 2 years, jumped up, ran super late models for a handful of years, had Bobby Hill, Gil help me, ran with Jeff Foltz for a year. We won some races at Southern National, and then I knew that I wanted to go NASCAR racing, and I got a car from Randy McDonald.
Oh, there you go.
And made my debut at Greenville in the K&N Series. I made 50 laps before right front brake caliper exploded on me. That was a fun night. And then this
there is a crash clause on that.
A little bit.
I'm sure you needed
it. Anything. I just pulled the pits. The next year I actually went to Richmond, was where I had my second race, and this is kind of the interesting where my career really took a path change was I met this guy, he owned a marina here on Lake Norman. He was buying and selling boats, flipping boats. We're actually both the same age. He was a young guy, seemed very successful. He's like, I want to go K&N racing, let's go buy a car. Bought a car, actually got Ron Otto, crew chief,
yep, for
Ron helped with the deal. We went to Richmond, we made the show. There was like 50 cars that showed up, so we had to qualify, and we made the show. Ran pretty good, got caught up in a crash. Well, fast forward 3 weeks later, this owner I had disappears. And all his checks bounced. NASCAR called me, Penske called me, Ron called, Ron wasn't happy.
Oh,
a bunch of other people called me, and this owner just skipped town.
This okay. last name didn't start with a G.
No.
But all
and
the
in
deals,
a couple of M's.
All the deals left ahead, all his checks started bouncing. And everybody's looking at me like, hey, am I going to get paid? What's right. the deal here? So I actually still had my super late model at the time, and I sold my super late model, took what little money I had from selling my late model, my pit box, my mm-hmm. motor, paid everybody off, and I'm like, all right, I'm washing my hands. I don't owe anybody money, but my racing career is probably over. And this was the fall of 2014. And I had just enough money, I called some teams around us to see if I could maybe get in a truck for Phoenix, second to last race mm-hmm. of the year, and got hooked up with Mark Beaver. I was like, hey, I got some tire money, can I maybe come run your truck? And he's like, yeah, man, we're hurting, we lost our sponsor, lost our driver, come run yours. So it's kind of crazy looking back at my career, if that, which was a really, really bad situation mm-hmm. at the time, I thought was into my career, I actually jump-started my NASCAR career, because I went to Phoenix. And that's where I met Mike Harmon. I went and ran for Mike at Homestead the following
okay,
week.
Cool.
Got my NASCAR approval to go to Daytona the very following year. Went to Daytona. Went to Atlanta the next race and ran all of 15. And that was when I had my gooseneck and my old Dodge.
Yep, I remember that.
That was 2015.
You know what you got to do? You got to tell Mark to let you throw your numbers on your car.
I still think Mike's too happy with me.
Oh, okay.
Really? We got a little check for cash.
Oh, that's too bad, man. Or you can help him out.
Did you not see the news a couple years ago?
I did.
That's horror.
I didn't know what happened. I'm just, you know, trying
like,
to.
It's like, you're bringing that up?
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Hell, you know,
the FBI was involved.
It's been pretty crazy. You know, I've made 125 truck starts, some expensive starts along the way, so. You know, it's been quite a ride, a lot of stories and journeys to tell, but I tell you that 15 and 17 was when we drove every single race. I mean, I remember we would drive from our shop in Denver, we'd go race, and that 1 year we would drive from Denver, race in Texas, drive to Phoenix, and Phoenix to Miami. We'd be on the road for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And a lot of blown tires. I hit an elk in New Mexico at one point, was stuck there for a week and a half.
I'm not laughing, but
yeah, no,
and you were doing most of the driving, weren't you?
I mean, this was back when it was me and
in a
two or three friends, yeah, really.
Yeah.
And the trailer I was
okay.
rolling. Yeah. No, there was no reaction.
No,
no reaction.
Elk.
It's quite a journey.
So when you're making that drive out to Vegas, did you ever say, "What are we doing this for? Why am I doing this? Is this worth it? Is it?" Because you're very driven, I can
yeah.
tell you that your determination is admirable, and it's. I hope some people watching are realizing just how determined you are, that you set your mind to do this, and you're going to overcome all the obstacles like you are right now. You're going to do it again.
You just have determined or crazy. It's somewhere.
I think you got to be a little bit of both.
Yeah, you got to be right. Yeah.
But you know, there were definitely times when you make.
I mean, I'm determined to be crazy.
Well, you're crazy. We all determine that.
That's a good one.
I mean, so yeah. you. If you want to do something, I always say, you have to focus on it and just go, right? And whatever bumps and, you know, whatever runs in you, an elk runs in you on the way there, you just keep digging.
Right.
And you're doing a great job, but go ahead.
No, that's fine. I think it's admirable, and I think that's what's going to keep you being successful.
I mean, this guy's taking Drano oil from his grandpa's garage so he can get here.
Oil.
Well, I bet he took some Drano oil, too.
No,
Jesus. I better get some of this Drano oil, too. A gallon ain't going to be enough.
I think that's why when Artie and I first got a chance to work together, I think that's why we hit it off so well and communicated so well. We're both kind of cut out of the same cut cloth. We both are driven.
Determination.
And I think that's why we both related on so many different things. But, you know, there were definitely moments, you know, you work at the shop till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. You go home and you get back up doing it again the next day. And you're like, man, is this ever going to break? But like Artie said, I look back when we started this team in 18 and we had 2 trucks. Now we got...
two trucks and a pizza party.
Yeah, 2 trucks. We got 10 trucks. We got 5 extended cars. We got an ice hauler. I mean, it's crazy. To see a
and we got who's going to clean this up?
Yeah.
Oh, pizza party. Yeah.
We've got a little bit better. We're not in the shop till 10 p.m. anymore. So. On schedule.
Richard Coleman, I guess, is a friend of yours.
Oh yeah, man.
He says, "Ol Artie looks like he's really enjoying the champion of beers. A few more, and the bench racing should really get good."
That might need a bigger bucket.
Carson Hoskovar, did he race for you a couple times?
Okay. He drove for us at Eldora.
Okay, that's good. Someone asked about that. Richard Coleman again says, "Tell Artie we can work on getting
your
hand
fan
can-
favorite."
Oh yeah.
Oh, you're next. Don't worry about it. He said, "I'm not gonna read that one. That's not as about free
I
time."
I see it, Richard. I'll text you.
Keep it clean. Keep it clean.
It's clean.
Darnell says, "Artie, don't drink too much. I might need a ride." Ha ha ha. Someone wants to know if you can partner one of the smaller teams, doesn't have a full season sponsor, and work a deal so you can run some races with their number. That's something
we've tried. You know, honestly, I tried to buy. Everybody's like, "Man, why don't you buy points in the off season?" Like I tried to.
Yeah.
Like I made some pretty serious offers. And
wow.
Nobody wanted to sell points. Nobody wanted to do anything, and that's why we were like, "All right, this qualifying session at Daytona is really going to allow the best teams to go race
to be racing."
Yeah. And unfortunately, with the rain out, it just locked everybody to the race last year. And so you know, it is what it is, but. We definitely, I mean, we exhaust a lot of options over the offseason, and that's why we wanted to go down there. We brought the best possible car. We had a good motor from ECR, the car we got, Artie and the guys did a great job setting up. We came with our best foot forward.
Right.
And unfortunately, things just didn't go our way. But
at least you know how to prepare for it now.
That's right.
For the next time.
I'll bring something up to you when we're done, see if this person can help you out.
Skip, sorry to get the connect. A friend of mine from Buffalo who's in Daytona. Richard Coleman.
Make sure everybody can see because your screen's black.
Yeah, we're good.
No.
We're all good.
Because we explained that.
Make sure we're live.
Oh, he's a comedian too. That's like, hey, that's our job. You drive the damn thing. You own them, all right? Yeah. Richard Coleman. Who's Richard Coleman? I mean, he's like he's hammering you pretty good here.
I actually worked for him in his landscape business.
Okay.
In 19, later part of 19, or in 20. Yeah.
Oh, when you're growing your.
Yeah, when I was growing.
When you're growing. Yeah.
So,
got it.
He's a good friend of mine. He was actually my tire carrier when I was at KBM.
Right.
He was a Gibbs for a long time. So.
Right. Well, he says this is a compliment to
you. Oh, he's been wearing me out all day. I got a big list for you.
I'm sure.
So he's going to have a lot more comments.
He says passion and determination are characteristics that we are seriously lacking these days, and I agree. Jordan should be commended for his drive and your journey.
Appreciate it.
Jake Phillips, will Jordan run more truck races since there's an unknown of when qualifying for you will resume attempting Xfinity races?
So, cool story about all this. So, Swan Security, who was actually on our truck at Daytona.
And who are they?
So, Swan Security, they're a competitor to like what you would buy a Ring camera.
Okay,
but Swan is in Costco, BJ's, Walmart, but they basically build and provide home security cameras. They have an app on their phone. They actually have the wireless cams. They have hardwired cams. So if you got to protect your home, your business, they provide basically cameras to protect it all. Great app, great company. It's a small growing company, but they had a great time. They loved all the TV time we got. They've reached out. They want to do some more truck races. So I'll be back in the truck at Vegas. It'll be the next truck race I run. And
so real quick, Swan supporting racing, folks. Support those who support racing. You know how to do this. 72% of people will support a company that supports racing versus another brand.
That's right. Go buy your next car at bombradio.com.
There you go.
Where Price sells cars.
mention Jordan.
Anderson.
They're probably making a pretty good deal.
I'm probably here because
Jordan Anderson. Let's just say you might get a better deal.
You might get a better deal.
Mention Pump Table Racers.
Like, what?
20% off. No, I'm not just kidding.
going there now. As soon as I leave here.
All right, so Mary Stevens says, I'm just going to read this. She said, I heard Jordan say that the NASCAR Thunder Games taught him how to manage the finances of a NASCAR team.
So, I don't know, this may show my age, but did you ever play NASCAR on the PlayStation? Did you ever have that?
Yeah.
So NASCAR Thunder 2003, it had this career mode, and you started out in career mode, and they gave you a car that literally couldn't even draft a Daytona. You get lapped on lap six. It was that bad. But the more you ran the career mode, it was like a 10-year process.
So it was like running a team.
Right. You could go in, and if you play strategy, and you can get a top 10 finish, you got more money. You could actually hire a better, fabricator, and your bodies would be better. And
right.
You could buy a better motor, and then you could buy, a better suspension guy, and it just, your team got better through the process.
And you get a better sponsor.
And I love that because you could sign sponsors as the career mode went on. So that
really?
I would spend
aero package.
I would spend hours and hours and hours playing NASCAR Thunder 03 and 04, and to this day, if you play a video game, it's got the songs.
Could you bribe an official?
That wasn't an option there.
No. I don't think that's ever been. But it's
no, not.
We'll
not,
have to go
not,
back like to the.
Not in the NASCAR games.
80 late no, 80s. We'll talk off camera.
Sure, thank you. Before
we not me. I never had
that. Before we all get in trouble.
Just the stories I heard.
Yeah. Back to your question, though, that was where I kind of really did fall in love with that team owner side of the sport. So
when you're racing, are you racing as a driver, or when you're on the track, or is there a driver owner, or like, hey, I got to save tires here, I got to save.
Like, I'll give you a good example. Lap 199 at Daytona,
yes.
I was the owner.
Okay.
Took the white flag,
right.
I was a driver.
Okay. Obviously.
I wouldn't think about it. But no, it definitely, I think you watch our sport, and I'm a huge history buff. I love, my favorite thing is I'll go on YouTube at night and watch, races from the 80s
sure.
and 90s, old races. And you watch how those guys race. They were super aggressive, but they respected each other.
They
kind of a respect. And I think that's one thing a lot of our sports lost, and that guys don't respect. I keep going back to you being a fabricator.
So do you ever notice that even the and I'll start in the later 90s, them guys didn't wreck each other at the end of the race to win at these speedway races.
Right.
That's one of the things that I say has changed, that if you couldn't pass someone clean, and I know part of it's our cars and our trucks and,
right.
and everything. Part of it's what we created, this monster of what we got. But, you never see this last lap pass where someone sideways into the fence and it's more of they just kind of stay behind them. They try to pass them at the end of the race and
get close.
And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Because if you're first or second going into turn three, back then, chances are you'll be at least a top five.
And I can go back to in the late 2000s, the Hendrick cars were really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched all four of them guys finish in the top, four or six. Jimmy Johnson and Dale Earnhardt are coming across the line in them old COT cars, neck and neck.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't finish each other off.
They kind of respected who was ever...
Like Carl did to Jimmy Johnson.
I don't know when this has become acceptable, is what I'm going to say.
Normal.
Or the normalcy.
Right. Oh, here we go.
Well,
right.
The time they said, boys have at it.
Well,
that's not the time.
I think
said, boys have at it, but don't go where you don't belong to yellow line.
Right.
I mean?
I think that meant more off the track than I think they meant on. I mean, they were like, stuff they were doing. That's how I always took that boys have at it, because...
And I don't know that you really need to fix it, or part of it is just the way we are. It's just what's happened.
The way it's evolved.
It's just where we come to.
But the cars are so safe now that you sit in them, you build them, that the invincibility is...
Nothing's...
I'm not saying invincibility, but the degree of danger
is
never
over.
Okay.
You know.
But it...
It's, you know, it's less. For
it's
sure
less,
it's
right,
less,
yeah.
You know.
Since 2001. Amen, Jordan. Well put, Jack Ely.
Big Jack.
There you go. So what's the plan for the next few weeks? Like, you just kind of do what you got to do. You're ready to go.
Well, it may work out to be a blessing in disguise because it's going to give us some extra weeks to get our Xfinity cars finished up. I mean, that's what we talked about. Was our plan is still move forward every week and get the parts we need and put these cars together and take it as opportunity. So when our chance does come to go race, we'll go make our mark. So
in all this busyness, we have to get your personal life in here a little bit because you are engaged. Where did you find time to fall in love and get engaged?
Funny story.
So you're engaged to
Kendall McReynolds.
Right, Larry's next
daughter.
How'd you meet her?
She'll get mad at me for saying this. We met at Saeed's, of all places. So for all you Lake Norman lake goers,
never heard of
about Saeed's. So,
did you sing karaoke?
I didn't that night because I saw her there, so I was making my moves.
I didn't that night.
So the right. night you, she the night wasn't before, there, but right. what did you sing karaoke? Stand by your man.
No.
Wow. Some Blues Brothers.
I got some goes, but long story short, I knew I grew up racing with Brandon, her older brother. Yep. Brandon and I are the same age. We ran Bandolero cars together. I knew Kendall's older sister Brooke, and Brooke and Kendall got there. Saw Kendall and went and kind of introduced myself and talked to her. And night came to a close, and I tried to convince them the best I could that we need to go to Waffle House across the highway.
Sure, absolutely.
That didn't go very well, and we parted ways. And I'm like, all right, I'll probably never see you again. But later that night, I get a text at 4:30 or something in the morning. Hey, are you still single?
No, I fell in love from 1 a.m.
Right. In my text, literally.
No, but I'm graveyard killed. I said, I'm getting Waffle House.
I said, yeah, I'm still living that single life. And she's like, oh, hey, this is Brooke McReynolds. And no offense, Brooke. I'm like, I don't think I was putting that vibe out. I was going for Kendall.
Oh.
And so then she goes, this is Kendall, though. I'm on Brooke's phone.
Oh, okay, got it.
So long story short, we're going on a date next week.
And okay.
Here we are 2 years later.
Good for you.
We're engaged. And her and Miss Linda Mack have been down in Savannah the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And Kendall has already got her venue, her date. She's got her dress. I mean, she gets her termination from Larry. She's okay. on the ball and all that stuff. So. All
right. Valentine's Day, did you do something nice for Kim?
I made French toast, a French toast bake.
Okay.
I'm Pinterest.
Pinterest, he's a Pinterest guy.
You have Pinterest?
Oh, I love Pinterest.
Fresh.
Yeah. I love to cook. I do Pinterest. I made this French toast bake with sausage and French bread and eggs, and it was phenomenal. Kids ate it all.
So that was your...
That was my thing.
Okay,
yeah.
Jordan?
I actually had some flowers delivered to the house when I got back to Daytona. So, yeah. I thankfully, we had Robbie Benton was down there with us in Daytona this past week, and Robbie asked me on Thursday, he's like, did you get anything for Kendall?
Well, it was tough because they fell together. I did the...
She's watching, you just...
I know.
I did the small chocolate and card on her, I work with her daughter, John, her daughter, Courtney, and I had on her desk, and in the morning, the next morning was a bigger heart, and Kent Carden on Friday was the big obnoxious. So it's just kind of a little funny, kind of coming around type thing. But we had dinner the week before, so.
Very cool.
Yeah. I laughed, I enjoyed it, so she had enough chocolate to give out to everybody. We want to ask you, did you just
what'd
you give out hundreds of them? Did you send like 30?
No.
Like, hey.
I actually worked in my shop.
Look at the money you saved, buddy.
Right. I'm building a two-seat road race car for AJ Frank and his dad to go have fun with. So
very nice.
I'm trying to get that finished up.
Jake Phillips, another question. Do you think your experience in road course cars will help when attempting to qualify NASA, NASA, was it?
Back in 2013, when I had my Super Late model, we really lost one of our big sponsors during that time. And growing up around Legend Cars, I knew about Thunder Roadsters and I heard about them running NASA. Mm-hmm. And found one to buy. It was the most inexpensive race I ever did. I bought the car with a motor in it for $5,000 and it came with a 24-foot trailer. Got a heck of a deal.
Nice. That was a good deal.
With the trailer.
With the trailer.
Very nice.
Which we still have. We use it on our race team now.
Yeah, perfect.
We went and ran and NASA had this deal. It was like $500 for entry. And you got two races, two qualifying sessions, two practice sessions, and we would go run Road Atlanta, VIR, Roadland Road. We ran the Roadville at Charlotte. Had a lot of fun with that deal and did that for almost a full year. And learned a lot about road racing and had a lot of fun. So I always felt like I don't have a whole lot of road course experience, but whenever we ran the truck series up at Mossport, I always ran pretty good up there. So I do like road racing.
So you've taken from every type of racing you've done, go-karts around through, you've taken a little nugget of information
that you use now. I got to pick up a little bit along the way every time.
All right. There's one more question, Tom. Oh. our buddy Tom Beatty, our number one friend, fan. He says, get Kendall a Pub Table Racers t-shirt. She'll love it. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you. Always coming. He's like become our PR guy. So, hey, guys, I appreciate you coming on. Continued success. You know, the guy upstairs has a bigger plan for you.
Amen.
I know that. You know that. And the one thing I like about you, you're not down. You're disappointed, but you're determined to come back. When your opportunity comes, you're going to take full advantage. And having this guy on board, I think you guys have a good symmetry that you both, you know, weather the storm together and be just fine.
That's right.
I'll say, first of all, anybody who can finish second twice at Daytona truck race, speedway racing, at anything.
Sure.
And I wish you guys the best of luck. I never met either one of you two before this. I almost thought you and I might have crossed paths at one point in time, but we didn't. That's weird. But you seem like a really intelligent, level-headed young man, and I wish you guys both the best of luck.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, well, good night. Good luck to everything, and well, we'll say our usual. Should we do our usual good night?
Usual good night.
Good night, Dick.
Good night, Dick.
Good night, Dick. All right, thanks, everybody. Catch you next week.
Yes,
don't forget, go to YouTube, free subscription. Thank you, RacingJunk.com, and Lake Norman New Gamers for being part of this. Without them, we could not do this.
Brad and JoJo.
Thank you very much. Go see them. Get your furniture. Spring's coming.
Wow. Hey, another great show. Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. We do this every Tuesday night, and more than I think the guests we've had been fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And the people that are following us, we appreciate it. We're reaching 42,000 people a month. Can you believe that? And we appreciate you watching. Okay. And
we're having fun. Hope everybody else enjoys it.
That's it. And it's just a fun show. Bucket of beer. Guys sitting around talking about it. So keep tuning in. We appreciate it. Check out our store and everything. But we appreciate you people. And we will see you next week. Right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.